is coming. The king is coming. I've just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. Oh, the king is coming. The king is coming. Praise God, he's coming for me. Yes, the king. The trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. The king is coming. The king is coming. Praise God, he's coming for me. Sing it one more time. Yes. Oh, sing it to him. I just heard, and now, oh, our king is coming, our king is coming, praise God, he's coming for me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, we all love good news. Everybody loves to hear good news. I'm going to tell you something. That's the best news you'll ever hear. That your king is coming. And he's coming back for you. Are you glad about it tonight? Give the Lord a big hand clap of praise. Love him with all your heart. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Oh, isn't God good tonight? Well, we're so glad to be in church again tonight. How many of you were here Wednesday night? Did you enjoy the word of the Lord? Brother David Seiler just absolutely blessed our heart from the word of the Lord. And well, Brother Aaron McGeary is here tonight, and I believe God's going to use our brother to feed us, to give us a good time in the Lord. Are you looking forward to the service tonight? Are you glad that you love to come to the house of the Lord? Look at somebody and say, it's good to see you in church tonight. Give them a good handshake. Give them a big smile. Oh, the king is coming. The king is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. I love you, buddy. He is coming, the king is coming, praise God, he's coming for you and me. Well, the king, he's coming, oh, the king is coming. I've just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. The king is coming. The king is coming. Praise God. He's coming for me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Well, what a time we're looking forward to having. And we're, you know what? We're having a pretty good journey on the way to getting there, aren't we? The Lord is certainly mindful of us. And we're just so glad that God has given us another privilege to come and worship him. Only got one request tonight. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Praise the Lord. This is, Brother George Hamlin sends this in to please pray for a co-worker, David Nottingham. He is having a lot of health issues, including heart problems.
And they're asking that we would remember him in prayer tonight. Certainly we'll continue to pray for Sister Phyllis Phillips, that the Lord will just understand she's doing much better, still has a few issues that they're going to be looking at. Certainly want to pray for her tonight. Also, Brother Bill Yance, want to certainly continue to remember Brother Bill. The Lord is certainly doing work in his life. It's on a road to recovery. And, well, as God sees fit, he'll just do what he wants to do, won't he? How many of you know you're serving an all-sufficient Lord Jesus tonight? You have an unspoken prayer request, something you'd like for this group to pray about? We just commit all these things unto the Lord. Brother Dan Dyer, come tonight. Let's invite the presence of our Lord into this service and ask him to have his divine will in these prayer requests tonight. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Brother Dan, God bless you tonight, buddy. Appreciate you.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this place that we can come to with a wonderful spirit that we have here. Dear Lord, we lift up these requests to you, Father, Brother Junior, Lord, and Lord, just ask you, well, we thank you for what you're doing, Lord. We can see your work, your progress in their lives, Lord, and we just ask you to come tonight and open our hearts, Lord, where we can receive revelation. Lord, we just, as the song we were singing, we just would like for you to come quickly, Lord. Come soon. We love you and praise you. In Jesus Christ's name we ask. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Dan. God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated for just a few minutes. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. You give unto the Lord. If you're visiting here with us tonight, we certainly want to welcome you to the service. I understand we do have quite a few visitors with us tonight. We've got a lot of home folks that's traveling different places and different things. But we're glad that you're here tonight. If you're a visitor, we certainly welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that are streaming the service tonight, may God richly bless all those folks that are streaming these services. Let me make this announcement. There was a set of car keys, Honda car keys, that was left at the banquet on Friday night. If you've lost your keys, they have those over in the library. You can pick them up. So remember that, a set of Honda car keys that was left at the banquet on Friday night. Well, I know one thing for sure. Everybody's going to be happy over there.
Amen.
You believe that with all your heart? Sometimes we have to be encouraged to turn our frowns upside down, because you look so much better smiling than you do frowning. But you're going to be happy over there. Ain't got no room for no frowners over there. Look at somebody saying he won't be no frowners over there. So let's get practicing tonight. Turn around and smile at somebody real big, if you will. Say praise the Lord. Now give him a big hand clap of praise if you love him. There's a happy land of promise over in the great beyond, where the saved of earth shall soon glory share, where the souls of men shall enter and live on forevermore. Everybody will be happy over there. Everybody will be happy, will be happy over there. We will shout and sing God's praises. Everybody will be happy over there. Mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers will be singing round the throne in that land where no one ever knows a care. And the Christians of all ages will join in that triumph song. Everybody will be happy over there. Oh, now everybody will be happy. Everybody will be happy over there. We will hear nobody praying and no mourning in that land, for no burdens there will be for us to bear. All the people will be singing glory, glory to the Lamb. Everybody will be happy over there. Everybody
kept us by His grace, and You brought us to that land so bright and fair. We will praise His name forever as we look up on His face. Everybody will be happy over there. Oh, now everybody. Everybody will be happy over there. Hallelujah. 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 Everybody's going to be happy over there. Thank You, Lord. There we'll meet the One who saved us and who's kept us while we walked in Satan's Eden. He's kept us by His grace. Look at somebody and say, I'm a receiver of His grace. I'm a receiver of His grace. And who brought us to that land so bright and fair. We're going to praise His name forever. As we look upon His precious face. Greg, everybody, everybody will be happy over there. There we'll meet the One who saved us and who's kept us by His amazing grace. And He brought us to that land so bright and fair. We're all gonna praise His precious name forever as we look upon His face. Everybody, everybody will be happy over there. Now say it like you believe it with all your heart. Well, everybody will be happy, will be happy. I'm so glad He found me, Brother Larry. Let's sing that little chorus tonight, the song, if you will. I'm so glad that He found me. Are you glad He found you tonight? Amen. Well, I'm so glad He found me. With love He bound me. He put His arms around me. And He lived. Someday hearts all glowing. Someday I'm going up to my home. My home in glory. Gonna walk those streets, babe, with gold. I was on the mountain, wandering from the fountain, when I heard my Savior speak to me. He said, come to me relenting, and of your sins repenting, and I'm gonna lead you out where you can see. Well, now I'm so glad He found me. With love He found me. Oh, sing it, church. Sing it to Him. And He led me to the shed. I'm going up to my home in glory. Gonna walk those streets paved with gold.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed be the Lord forevermore. Blessed be our King of Kings, our Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. We can sing the song of the redeemed. Aren't you glad about it tonight? God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated. We've got some singers here tonight. Sister Elizabeth and Sister Julia McGarry. They have a song for us tonight. I want them to come. Remember how they have that arranged? If you'd come at this time, get ready to sing for us. Are they here in the room? They are. Let's give them a nice hand tonight as they get ready to come and sing. Enjoy our singers tonight.
Bless you.
For the times when the sun does not shine.
and the mountaintop is just a memory. When there's no signs to be seen, and I don't feel a thing, to the Word of God alone I must cling. I need faith for the day when trouble comes my way, and I just don't understand what it means. That's when nothing else will do. Faith alone will get me through. Believing becomes my victory. It's not hard to believe when things are going well and skies are sunny. When you feel you're making progress, doing good, living in a time of plenty. But if all of that should change, would you still keep the faith? That's the question. 'Cause believing when believing isn't easy, that is the testing. I need faith for the times when the sun does not shine and the mountaintop is just a memory. When there's no signs to be seen and I don't feel a thing, to the Word of God alone I must cling. I need faith for the day when trouble comes my way, and I just don't understand what it means. That's when nothing else will do. Faith alone will get me through, and believing becomes my victory. The sun does not shine and the mountaintop is just a memory. When there's no sign to be seen and I don't feel a thing, to the Word of God alone I must cling. I need faith for the day when trouble comes my I just don't understand what it means. That's when nothing else will do. Faith alone will get me through, and believing becomes my victory. That's when nothing else will do. Faith alone will get me through, and believing becomes my victory.
Glory. Amen.
This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Let's stand together. And you can't prove it to save your life. If somebody wanted an absolute, irrefutable, scientific proof today that there was a God, could you do it? Could you prove it? There is no scientific proof that Moses ever lived. There wasn't any proof that David ever lived until 1993. There was no proof that Pilate lived until 1961. There's still no proof that Solomon ever lived, that Ruth ever lived, that Esther ever lived. Well, For since I'm not a proof person, it don't really matter to me. I'm a believer. I'm a believer. Aren't you glad you're a believer? I'm not a proofer. I'm not a proofer. I believe. I believe that which I cannot explain. I believe that which is totally insane. Don't you? Oh, he said it's just in God. Really, is it? I'll tell you what I want you to do. I want you to prove to me you've got a liver. I'll give you 30 minutes to do it. Fair enough? Prove to me you've got an aorta in your heart. Prove to me you have a brain. Prove to me what joy is. But you apparently believe you do. Have you ever seen it? Touched it? How do you know you have a brain? You're taking somebody else's word for it. You're taking somebody else's word that the body has kidneys and all that sort of thing, right? So we take people's word for it. Why do I believe there's a Moses? I take somebody else's word for it. Why do I believe there's a rapture? I take somebody else's word for it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it just so happens he ain't never ever lied and he ain't never been wrong. So for me and my house, we're going to serve him. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, I think it's so sad for the people who spent much of their life rallying around the supposed fact that there was no Pontius Pilate. Which meant, of course, there was probably no Jesus either. But you imagine whenever they spent all of their life trying to prove that there wasn't, found no rocks with his name on it or nothing like that. And then in 1961, somebody found one. So that meant all of that person's life was totally spent in vain. Theologians, Bible teachers, antagonists, and all the different ones who say there was no David, still say there is no Solomon, still say Jerusalem was just a very, very small place and not very big at all. They spend all of their life going through all this apologetics. But you know what? God hasn't called us to apologize for His Word. He's called us to believe it. That's right. I'm so glad I'm a believer. We say it a lot, but I think as we get closer to the end of the way, that little simple thing is going to mean more to you than you realize. We're so happy to be here tonight in the presence of the Lord. Had a wonderful time together last night, had the youth banquet on the fellowship hall and had a really nice meal together and time together. I want to thank the sisters that did all the preparing work, the decorating of the place. It was very, very nice. And then they served and all the cleanup that was involved in it and all of that we certainly appreciate. And then Brother Aaron, we came over here and had service. Brother Aaron gave us so many wonderful things from the Lord. And we so enjoyed our time together for our young people. Now tonight we have another night, another service, more needs. How many has a need in your life? Or needs as in plural. You want to be closer to God. You need more of His goodness to you. Well, I believe our Lord has prepared for us a table in the presence of our enemies. So let's just pull our feet up at the table, sit down and eat, and ignore the devil. Ignore your sickness, ignore your problems, your symptoms, all that's wrong, whatever the trouble you've got, and eat. You never notice how David said that? For thou hast prepared me a table in the presence of mine enemies. They still aggravate you when you're eating. But just go ahead and eat and ignore them. Smack your lips and you wipe your mouth and go ahead and eat like a horse in clover. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we'll ask Brother Aaron to come and just bring to us tonight what the Lord has placed on his heart. And just be mindful of it that you're the one who has a great portion to say in how this service will go, the outcome. I've went to places and preached before every minister has to where that you go. And it's like the people don't know how to operate the gift in your life. Most of it is placed upon you. You struggle and you struggle and maybe you go somewhere else and preach that exact same sermon from the exact same notes, but they're taught that they have such an impact and they can pull. It's like two different preachers. Two different preachers. That's why a home preacher can become common to his people, and people hear him preach out somewhere else say, wow, I wish you'd do that at home. And you think, I wish you'd pull like that at home. It's not just the preacher. It's you. So I want you to be really good sheepies tonight. And I want you to wear that dude out. Pull on the gift of God. Listen, hey, friends, I'm not joking with you. We're a needy people. We need for God. I don't want to hear what Aaron McGarry's got to say. I've heard it for the last 3 or 4 days. I want to hear what God's got to say. Amen. Let's sing together Amazing Grace. We'll ask our brother to come. He probably won't come out now. Amen. We so appreciate Brother Aaron and his family and those that came with him. Let's just open our hearts now to the Lord. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Everybody now, I once was lost, but
thank you. Pray for me.
But now I see 'twas grace that taught, 'twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious is that grace appear, the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, oh, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come.
Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we're just honored to be in Your presence tonight. And as we approach Your word, we're desiring that the same Spirit which has inhabited our praises could now speak to our hearts. Depart to us those things which are needful, Lord, just imparting them to us by revelation. Added to us, Lord, in such a manner that it cannot be taken from us. We commit all things into Your hands, especially appreciative, Lord, just to be here tonight, a healthy, sound in mind, and ready to serve. We love You. We commit all things into Your hands and ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 While you're standing, if you'll take your Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 11, and then also, Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll just read a verse from each. And as you're turning to Mark chapter 11 and Hebrews chapter 11, just like to say it's a wonderful privilege to be with you tonight and have the opportunity to minister to you. We had a wonderful time last night at the youth banquet. It's a beautiful evening. The young people just dressed very nice and conducted themselves well. It was definitely just a special evening and time of fellowship. And then also I just had a good time around the things of the Lord. And I appreciated the opportunity to participate in that. It was a great privilege. I'm also happy to be able to have my family here with me. Last time we were here, I wasn't married, but now I'm married with 3 kids. I have Elliot, Preston, and Eliza Grace. And I wasn't just here a couple years ago. It's been a few years, so I've kind of spread it out a little bit. But we do have 3, 5, and under, and just happy to have my wife, Sister Elizabeth, and my children with me. And then also my brother David and his wife, Julia, drove out. And I'm sure they were looking forward to some fellowship, not just hearing me preach again. And then my brother-in-law, Jonathan Martin's also here. It's just nice to be able to have family travel with you and be a support and encouragement to you. We love you all very much. You mean so much to us just to see your faithfulness through the years and your pressing on in the gospel and being a light, not just here locally, but around the world. And we certainly appreciate the friendship of your pastor, Brother Donnie, and his wife, Sister Carol. We love and appreciate them and very grateful that they extended the invitation to us. And we bring greetings from our pastor, Brother David McGeary. He's also my dad. My pastor and my mom wanted to send their greetings to you, and also the Saints of Christian Life Tabernacle in the Dallas-Fort Worth area send their love and greetings to you. Mark chapter 11, verse 22. And I know I'm just reading the one verse here, but Jesus had spoken to a fig tree, and then they noticed that it has withered, and Peter is somewhat maybe surprised by that. And then in verse 22, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. And then also to Hebrews chapter 11, Jesus very simply saying, have faith in God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Sometimes we read scripture so much they lose their sound. You take a word and you start saying it a lot, and all of a sudden it loses its meaning or its significance. Sometimes we just need to slow down and say, but without faith it is impossible to please him. And you may be seated this evening. We certainly desire that God would bless the reading of his word. I want to title my message this evening, Faith Divine.
Amen.
Faith Divine, and your pastor may have been able just to preach it in 30 seconds. It'll take me just a little bit longer, but Faith Divine. And we'll be looking at the subject of faith. Faith is a well-known, often preached subject, yet it's frequently misunderstood.
Amen.
And considering the times that we're living in, I believe that it's imperative that we're established on the only sure foundation. There's not many different foundations that we can rest upon. There's only one. And we have got to be certain, we have to be sure that we're standing upon that foundation. And God does all that he can and will do all that he can to be sure that we are standing on the only sure foundation. So many times things happen in our lives just to kick something out from underneath us that shouldn't be there. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, says, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So the Spirit is speaking expressly about these times and says that in this time some shall depart. That means to fall away, or it even has a militaristic type sound to it, or like you would one that would desert an army. But it also has the meaning that not just to fall away or to depart, but also to excite a revolt. And so there'll be those in this last times who will depart from the faith, exciting a revolt, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. A seducing spirit is a wanderer, a tramp, an imposter, or a deceiver. So it'll be these wanderers, they're tramps, they're imposters, they're deceivers, who will revolt against the faith, causing others to also depart. And that's the hour that we're living in. It's a perilous times, a time of trouble, a day of rebuke, a day of blasphemy. There's many different scriptural words and images that we could use to describe the time that we're living in. And it all serves to cause people to depart and fall away from the faith. And as we read in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, but without faith, without faith, it is impossible to please God. It's one of those absolutes of Scripture. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. In other words, there is no chance you could ever please God apart from faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. And Brother Branham says in the sermon, faith is the substance. And I don't believe that it's just a coincidence that that's the very first sermon that we have recorded of His ministry. If they're to find one earlier, that's fine with me. But just the fact that at least for now, it's the first one we have recorded that faith is the substance, I think that's significant. He said there's so many people speaks of faith, doesn't know one principle of faith. There's many people that speak about faith but don't know even one principle of faith. And even Paul, in writing to Timothy in 1 Timothy 3:9, said to holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. So faith is even a mystery. Faith is something that is foolish to the wise and prudent of this world. Holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience, that means ultimately it's desire that your faith would be held without anything else with it. A pure conscience, unsullied, uncontaminated, nothing else mixed in it. The words to be mixed with faith without any other ingredients.
Amen.
And so holding the mystery of the faith, a hidden or secret thing. So faith itself is mysterious. And no wonder Brother Bram says many speak of faith but don't know one principle of faith. And so we're just going to be speaking on this subject of faith, calling it faith divine. And in just maybe launching into it, I want just to speak for a little bit about what faith is not. Faith is not a function of your mind. It's not something that comes from the physical, not something that comes from the natural. It's not intellectual and it is not carnal. Brother Branham says in faith by experience, many times we try to educate ourselves into believing. That's very important. You could just ponder that for a moment. Many times we try to educate ourselves into believing. Well, if I can prove this, if I could gather this fact, if I could achieve a certain understanding with this, and we're trying to put together facts in such a way to where, well, I believe and we'll believe this. And I had a situation here recently at work where somebody had disputed a fact about something. I was like, well, this is easy to solve. This document was notarized. I'll just look up the notary. I'll call them. I'll have them give us the proof of the signature. And it's case closed. Well, somebody had forged the notary stamp. Person never even existed. The name was even... And I right there, it's like, well, there's no way I can educate myself into having any kind of faith in this. This is forged. But people will undertake the same process. Well, I want to believe and I want to know this and I want to know that in order to conjure up faith. But you cannot produce faith through education. Many times we try to educate ourselves into believing. He says that is intellectual. There is a far great difference between intellectual faith and real God-sent faith. So we can at least understand that there is what we could call an intellectual faith, but there is a real God-sent faith. And he says intellectual faith reasons. Intellectual faith is based upon education, the gathering of information, and then reasoning with it. That's why, to me, science is a religion. And what individuals do is they gather facts based upon scientific information, they reason with it, and if it can satisfy their reason, they believe it. And so a religion, science is a religion of gathering facts, coming at peace with those facts, and then choosing to believe it upon their own reasoning. That's an intellectual faith.
Amen.
And but it reasons, that intellectual faith reasons. It means to deliberate or to consider, to determine or conclude by logical thinking. So intellectual faith is something that is formed in our mind, and it relies upon the processes of our mind. It relies upon our perception. We're gonna take in certain facts by our eyesight, and then based upon what we perceive, we're gonna come to certain conclusions. Brother Branham says in the Church Age Book, Chapter 5, he says, as today's church is filled with mental believers who endorse the virgin birth, the shed blood, going to church and taking communion, and are not reborn at all. Notice there's those that will confess the faith, confess things of Scripture, even confess the things of the virgin birth and supernatural elements of our faith, but yet themselves, Brother Brown says, they are mental believers. Mental believers. Whenever we say somebody's mental, that means they're not right. And so these are mental believers. They're not right. Because they have not been reborn at all. They're trying to serve God intellectually. And it's quite scary that they have reason. Now imagine this, based even upon what your pastor shared with you a little bit ago. There's no proof that God exists. And they've somehow reasoned themselves into believing that He does. That is a mental believer. It's apart from faith and intellectual exercise that they've come to accept certain things. And sometimes God can do things so extraordinary, even the intellectual mind has to say, well, there must be something to it. Because James 2:19 says, thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. Way to go. One God. The devils also believe and tremble. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. And if you were to look at the greater portion of what James is saying there, James is dealing with a limited faith, a powerless faith, or a believing, and he likens that kind of faith. Well, you believe with apart from works, I'll prove my faith by my works. And he's showing just how that kind of intellectual faith says, well, when somebody is cold, you say, be warm. When someone's hungry, be fed. And there's never any outworking, there's no power, there's no effect, there's no change, there's no difference. And he's saying, you're mental believers just like the devils are. You believe that there's one God? Well, way to go, the devils also believe. So that limited, powerless, intellectual faith is the devil's faith. And so belief, even in our carnal, our human language, belief can be the mere acknowledgement of some fact or event. I believe that there is a pulpit here, but that doesn't mean I'd give my life for it. I believe that there's a pulpit here, but I wouldn't depending on it to heal my child if he was sick. Amen. So belief can be just the acknowledgement of some fact or event that you have reasoned with and have been satisfied that it happened or it existed. That is intellectual faith. Yes. Brother Bram says we can have an intellectual faith. It's a human faith. A believing which is rooted in the human knowledge, rooted in the power of the mind. And I'll say this, because I certainly wouldn't want to preach it so much to where you don't even want to have any kind of intellectual faith at all, but your faith is good. Your faith is good, but it's not enough. And what I mean by that is you need to have at least that limited faith. You have to have at least that intellectual faith, because you cannot intellectually reject God and find real faith. You cannot intellectually say, well, the Bible's not true, but if it is, maybe God can give me real genuine faith. I don't believe in this and I don't believe in that, but if it's true, then I'll get a real faith. No, we at least have to first intellectually accept it, but we can't stop there in intellectually believing and being mental believers. I don't know if saying mental believer is politically correct these days, but there's a lot of mental believers. So faith does not abide in the mind. Faith is not the function of our mind. It's not born from our mental faculties, but faith is born from our soul. In Romans chapter 10:10, he says, For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. So it's from the heart that man believeth unto righteousness. In Luke chapter 24, even as those disciples are walking on the road to Emmaus, and they expressed discouragement and they were sad. And Jesus says, well, what's wrong? I said, well, where are you from? Haven't you heard that Jesus was crucified and today's the third day? And Jesus is probably thinking, yeah, isn't that about the time I should be showing up? And yet they were discouraged. And he says, oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. So he's not talking about their minds. I mean, if they had been quick mentally or sharp mentally, it didn't matter to him. He's saying slow of heart. That's kind of striking. He calls them fools. Oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. And then after he had made himself known to them in verse 32, and they said unto one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? What was happening when the scripture was open? It was doing something to their heart. It was doing something down in their soul, not their minds. They weren't getting itching ears and they weren't getting stimulated intellectually. Something in their heart was turning and stirring. That's what the word does. By faith, it stirs up the soul. In Hebrews chapter 3 verse 12, it says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. An evil heart of unbelief. Why? Because it's from the heart man believeth. It's the heart that believes. It's the heart that burns when the word is preached. Amen. Brother Branham says in Faith in 1956, faith is not a mental act. It's something that you subconsciously do it. He says in one place, faith is subconscious. And a lot of people mean that, well, my faith is cold knocked out. It just doesn't do anything for me. But what he means is faith is subconscious in that, or even faith is unconscious in that one place. It's unconscious. In other words, we don't conjure it up. We don't have to nudge it and wake it up. Faith is there under the surface. Faith is not a mental act. It's something that you subconsciously do it. People try to look to their intellects for faith when faith doesn't lay there. Reasons lay here. Faith lays in the soul. Reason lays in the mind. Listen, even if you've been able to take and make sense of the message intellectually, that lays in the mind. But faith lays in the soul. In Images of Christ, Brother Branham says, what is faith? Faith is truth. I love that. Faith is truth. Faith is something that you know positive of. Faith is not nothing you guess at. I don't mind saying it that way. It's not nothing you guess at. Faith is what you know. Something that comes down into your soul. That's what faith is. It's positive. It's truth. It's something you know. Nothing you're guessing at. Something that comes down in your soul and you're absolutely positive of it. But we have a little bit of a weakness because sometimes we even use the term believe to suggest doubt. Someone says, well, honey, have you seen the keys? Well, I believe they're on the table. In other words, you don't know they're on the table. You're just guessing that they're on the table. Someone says, well, what time is service tomorrow? Well, I think it's at 11. You're not expressing knowledge or know-how or absolute. You're expressing doubt. So even our human language has turned belief and thinking into doubt. He says that if you knew it was there, if you're using faith, I believe it's on the table. In other words, you'll find it there. That's what faith means. But intellectually, we can believe and we can think, but yet we're still conveying that it's not an absolute. Because mental faith is fallible. Mental faith is limited belief. Mental faith has borders. Mental faith has it can only go so far. Mental faith can never survive. It can never last. It can never endure. A mental faith will let you down in the end. In Scripture, faith is translated to assurance. Belief or fidelity. So faith speaks of in terms of trust and commitment. The word faith in Scripture is pistis, the Hebrew word. It means conviction of the truth of anything. Belief, trust or confidence in. It comes from the root patho, which means to persuade. To induce one by words to believe. To be persuaded, to allow oneself to be persuaded, to be induced to believe, to have faith. And so it means to listen to, obey, yield to, comply, to trust, to have confidence and be confident of. So faith and belief or persuasion can be directed towards carnal things. And that's an intellectual faith. Faith in the wrong thing. You could put a trust and a commitment and direct it towards the wrong thing and it's still the wrong, it's a wrong kind of faith. That's an intellectual faith. So we can say, I believe this, I have confidence in that, I trust in that, and that kind of faith is in intellectual things. That's not the faith we're talking about. But faith, when used in reference to God, when used in reference to His Word, when it refers to salvation, it refers to a conviction which is not intellectual, but is in the soul. Not in the mind, but in the heart of man. It speaks of persuasion, something that's unmovable. A fixed position wherein you're convinced, you're confident, willing to commit all trust, to abandon yourself to something. When you have full 100% confidence and faith in something, you don't even need to question it. That's the kind of confidence, that's the kind of faith, that's the kind of trust that genuine faith in the Word of God is. It's a persuasion. And even as Paul spoke to Agrippa in Acts 26:28, then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. He was almost persuaded. He was almost convinced. In other words, as his mind reasoned with it, intellectually he rejected it because in his soul he couldn't believe it. And true faith is unique. True faith is very peculiar. There might be a lot of faith-based organizations. There might be a lot of believers out there in the nominal world. There might be a lot of people who believe in faith and faith in God. It might even be a nation out there somewhere that says even on their money, in God we trust. But faith is unique. It's peculiar. And it's always connected with God and not man. Brother Bram said, faith is a gift of itself. He said, faith is not something you manufacture, it's something you have. Paul, in writing to the Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5, said there's one faith. And it is by that one faith that we find favor with God. 2 Peter 1, 1, in Peter's writing, he says, to them that obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Like precious faith. That means rare faith. Amen. Faith is to be honored. Faith is to be revered. Rare, unique, peculiar faith. Not a common, broadly shared, accepted faith, but one faith, a peculiar, precious faith. Titus said it this way, according to the faith of God's elect. The faith of God's elect. Jude verse 20 says, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Now I think we need to go ahead and take back what the nominal Christian world stole from us. Faith belongs to God's elect. There is a precious faith. There's a faith of God's elect. There is a most holy faith that we can have and we can enjoy and that God has given us that isn't a commonly broad faith. It's not even the faith that God will honor of the nominal world or the those who've seen it and believe it and intellectually accept it. And God will honor that kind of faith in His Word in some trust. But we're talking about the faith of God's elect. A peculiar and precious faith. Just consider what faith is. The faith that was to be restored to us in the end time. Martin Luther said, faith is a living, daring confidence in God's grace, so sure and certain that a man could stake his life on it 1,000 times. Faith is a living, daring confidence in God's grace, so sure and certain that you could stake your life on it 1,000 times. Faith is the kind of faith that says if I prayed for 99 people and they all died, I'd pray for 100. That's the kind of faith. It's a living, daring confidence in the grace of God. John Wesley said, justifying faith implies not only a divine evidence or conviction that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, but a sure trust and confidence that Christ died for my sins, that He loved me and gave Himself for me. It's not just a conviction that God was in Christ dying for our sins, but a sure trust and conviction that Christ died for my sins, that He loved me and gave Himself for me. Oswald Chambers said, faith is deliberate confidence in the character of God whose ways you may not understand at the time. A deliberate confidence. Faith is a deliberate confidence in the character of God whose ways you may not understand at the time. There might be people that start to do certain things and you completely disagree with the way they're doing it and you don't have any confidence in them and you give up all hope and it might work out in the end. You go, boy, I had no hope that that was going to work out. They must have got lucky. But God has a character wherein we can place a deliberate confidence in Him even when we do not understand what He is allowing to happen. Even when things boggle our mind, when things go contrary to what we think is fair, when things start happening where it seems impossible for there to be a way out of it, we can place a deliberate confidence in the character of God. We've read of Luther and Wesley, even Oswald Chambers, and the messenger to this age says, and faith is a substance. Faith is the only direct and positive sense. It's the sixth sense. Faith is more than sight. Faith is more than feeling. You do not feel faith. You don't taste faith. You don't smell faith. You don't see faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. Faith is the only direct and positive sense. In other words, if you believed something by faith and it was contrary to what you could see, taste, hear, and smell, you should reject what you see, taste, see, hear, and smell. That
That sounds foolish to the carnal world. It sounds foolish to the scientist. It sounds foolish to the make-believer. But to the elect of God, they can stand sure, putting all their confidence and trust in the character of God who never fails and says, my faith tells me that it is, even though my senses declare that it is not.
Brother Bredham says in expectancy, faith brings Christ. Faith knows no defeat. Faith is perfect. Faith brings things when there's nothing to be brought. Faith creates. Faith takes doubt away. Takes negative and makes positive. How beautiful. Faith is not mythical. Something mentally work up. It's an absolutely fundamental result that happens in a person's heart. When faith is appropriated, then it's something in the person's heart. It knows no defeat. Faith is perfect and brings things when there's nothing to be brought. What is faith? Faith is divine. A real, genuine faith is from God and resides in our soul. Brother Branham and Queen of Sheba said there's human faith. It's the mind. It's the intellect. It's influenced by senses. It rules in our mind. And he said, then there's faith of God, which is in the soul or in that heart. And he says, and you must have a godly faith to believe. Now then, to have godly faith, you must have the mind of Christ in you. A very clear difference between the human faith and the faith of God or godly faith. As we said before, faith is a gift of God. Faith is not something you manufacture, it's something you have. We should desire not just to believe, but to have godly faith. Amen. Not just to mentally accept things or reason with things and be satisfied with our reasoning, but we need faith divine. Faith is divine. And the message, faith is a substance. Brother Bradham said, this world was made by faith. Things were shaped in existence by faith. God just seen the dewdrop hanging out there in the air, that whatever you want to call it. And he just spake and said, let there be light. And there was light. And then he brought the land forth and dried it off and so forth. That was all done by an act of faith with God. The whole world is made by faith. No wonder by faith we believe the world was made. We could say then, I believe the world was made by faith. Because by faith we believe that the heavens and earth were formed by God. And Brother Bram saying that the world was made by faith. Amen. Everything that exists has its existence because of faith. Amen. The world was made by faith. It was all done by an act of faith with God. The whole world is made by faith. Amen. And so he says in Jehovah Jireh in 1957, the creator who created all things and made the world by his own word. The very dirt that you're setting over tonight is nothing in the world but God's word made manifest. We were talking to the young people last night about how the scientists went to God and they said they didn't need God anymore. And God said, okay, we'll do a man-making contest. And the scientists were like, okay, let's do that. God said, no, we'll do it like we did in the beginning. We'll use dirt. Scientists said, okay, no big deal. We'll use dirt. Reached down to grab some dirt and God said, wait a minute, get your own dirt. Turtles all the way down, young people. He said, the very dirt you're setting over tonight is nothing in the world but God's word made manifest. Do you know the scripture declares that they, when they knew God, they rejected him? Because the very world around them declares God to be real and they would not retain God in their knowledge. Because the very dirt they're standing on declares God. The very stars, the very, everything around them is declaring that there is a God. And so they reject the knowledge of God. And that's what makes them fools. God has been declared, made visible around them. And when they knew God, they would not retain God in their knowledge. Therefore, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to say in his heart, there is no God. Next time an atheist tries to tell you there is no God, say, well, then what are you standing on? God said, let there be, and it was. Listen, he said, the world was made by faith. And he says, God said, let there be, and it was. He believed his own word. Everything material come from the supernatural. So what happened is it wasn't just God speaking words, but he had faith in his own words. The world was created by faith, that when God spoke his word, his faith divine brought his word to pass. Listen, God practices what he preaches. He wouldn't ask you to have faith in his word if he didn't have faith in his word. But God spoke the word, and the word came to pass because God believed everything he said and didn't doubt an ounce of it. Didn't matter to him if it took 1,000 years for the light to come. Didn't matter to him why he spoke it. He said, it'll come to pass because I have faith in my word. This was all done by an act of faith. And he said the act of faith was God believing his own word. So faith is God. It's a divine attribute and characteristic of God. It's part of what makes him God. Which one of us can say something and be so sure and confident and positive about it, and it happened like it does with God? Romans 3:3, for what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? So read it in a different light, not just God's faithfulness, but his faith, his belief, his conviction, his persuasion, his trust, his confidence. Can their unbelief make God's faith of no effect? Paul said in Galatians that we're justified by the faith of Jesus Christ. In Acts 3:16, it was the faith which is by him. In Acts 26:18, Jesus even says, by faith that is in me. In James 2:1 says, the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then Jesus Christ in Revelation 2:13 says, they have not, has not denied my faith. There's God's faith. Jesus, the faith of Jesus Christ. The faith which is by him. The faith that is in him. The faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not an intellectual faith. Amen. It's not a carnal faith. It's the very same faith that put the dirt underneath your feet. It's the very same faith that was put in let there be and it came to pass. That's the faith of God's elect. Amen. That's the faith that we accept. That's faith divine. Amen. The faith of God is connected with him, not us. It's connected with God, not our ability, not our reasoning, not our flesh, not our carnality, not our ability to understand it. Faith in God is of God. Brother Bram said, faith itself is a substance and an evidence of things that the senses of the body won't declare. And that's why Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Amen. Even though the senses of the body do not give proof of its existence, faith knows it's there. Even though there's no proof, and maybe even proof to the contrary, faith knows it's there. And faith then becomes the substance. Now, we need to understand this. Faith is a substance, not the substitute. You want to have faith for your healing. It's the substance of your healing, but not a substitute. Because substance faith will produce the healing. Now, do you understand that? That's not exactly what I'm preaching. But we need to understand that faith is a substance, but not a substitute. Faith will bring you to the promise, the manifestation, and then the fulfillment. But the faith declares it's a coming. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is not a human emotion. It's not a human sense. It does not spring from our emotions. It's not birthed from our senses. Brother Branham, faith is a substance. I'm sure many of you can recall that. Brother Branham even took a woman, and maybe I think she was playing the piano, and he said, maybe she had her speaker. Do you hear her? Do you feel her? Do you taste her? Do you smell her? No, she was standing there, and he's saying, well, do you hear? No, you don't see her, but here stands a woman. Do you taste her? Do you feel her? Do you smell her? No. Your eye sees her, and you say, well, there's a woman, because my eyes see him. Hi, Brother Jeremy. I just saw you sitting there. Some friends of ours moved from Phoenix to North Carolina and then show up in church tonight and throw me off. And so you have a woman standing there, and the only sense that declared it was eyesight. And then he takes a glass of orange juice, and they said, do you smell it? Do you hear it? Do you feel it? Do you see it? No, but taste declared it. One sense declared a woman standing there, certain, positive, there's a woman there. One sense declared he was tasting orange juice, certain, positive, it's orange juice. Perfume, do you see it? Do you taste it? Do you hear it? Do you feel it? No, but the one sense was enough to declare there was perfume. Then the sister began to play the piano. Do you see it? No. Do you hear it? Feel it? No. Do you smell it? No. Do you taste it? No. How do you know a piano's playing? I hear it, and that one sense was enough to declare a piano was playing. So he'd say, how do you know? One sense declared it. Are you positive? Yes. And he couldn't be convinced otherwise when just one sense declared it. So evidence from one sense was enough to be absolutely certain positive. It's a woman, it's orange juice, it's perfume, it's a piano. And listen, do you see God? Do you hear God? Do you taste God? Do you feel God? How do you know God exists? Do you feel your salvation? Listen, when the five senses cannot declare it, faith is the only sense that we need. That's why faith is a direct, positive sense, and it cannot be persuaded contrary. Oh, I don't hear it, I don't see it, I don't feel it, but I can taste it. That was enough with respect to the orange juice. Faith is enough with respect to God. Faith is a perfect sense. It is a direct and positive sense. Faith cannot be swayed. Just as much as because he tasted it, you couldn't say, well, because you can't hear it, because you can't feel it, because you can't see it. No, that one sense was enough. Faith is enough. Faith was so tremendous that he said he could have a Barlow knife in his pocket, left it on the desk at the hotel, and he said faith could put it there. And he said it this way, if it's not there, faith will put it there. And he says, that chokes you. Why? Because scientifically, we haven't mastered teleportation, even though I believe Google's trying to do it. It's contrary to physics. How could that be? It's impossible. And the mind will reject the fact that you could take a Barlow knife in a hotel miles away and put it in your pocket. But faith overcomes the impossibility. Faith is a greater sense. Faith wasn't relying upon the fact. Has anybody else ever transported a Barlow knife? I mean, has it teleported anything before? Didn't matter. Faith would meet the need in the moment. He said, if it's not there, faith will put it there. And he says, that chokes you. In Mark chapter 11, verse 22, as we read in the beginning, Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. But literally it means have the faith of God. Have God's faith. The strongest and highest of all faith. And so he says, have God's faith. Say unto this mountain, be thou removed in no doubt in your heart. But believe that those things which he hath saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Well, who does that remind you of? A God who said, let there be. Had faith in his own word and it came to pass. And now he says, have God's faith. In so much that you could say to a mountain, be removed. And without doubt in your heart, but believing that you'll have what you said, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Faith divine moves mountains. Because faith divine put the mountain there. Faith divine is the highest of all faith. Faith divine is the supreme power. It has supreme control over everything. That's why in this message, I don't know what I'm going to do now because I might just preach tomorrow morning right now. But when this message came and restored a perfect word to us, it restored a perfect faith. And when Brother Branham had a vision of that mamba dancing around and everybody was scared of death, dancing around, and he said it was certain death if you got struck by that. But he said he was two-thirds of the way. He had come through first pull and second pull. Now it's time for the third pull. And the Spirit spoke to him. He says, you've got power to bind him. Hallelujah.
And he said when he spoke it, it bounded into that and sign. And he said that meant power over the greatest and the least. And this message has given us a perfect faith over death. It has given us a full supreme power over everything on earth. There is nothing that cannot be put under your feet with faith divine. Faith divine moves mountains. It creates. It cannot be conquered.
Amen.
Well, then how can we have faith divine? Well, faith divine doesn't rest in ability. Doesn't rest in circumstances. Doesn't rest in the flesh. Doesn't rest in the world. Because faith must have a genesis. Must have someplace it begins or someplace it arises from or comes from. And it must have a resting place. We use faith sometimes to refer to an emotion. It's not an emotion. It's not just an affection without reference. Some people say, I have confidence. I'm feeling really confident today. Well, why are you feeling confident? I don't know. I just feel good. I've got confidence. Well, in what? That's not the way faith works. Faith divine is connected, always connected with the Word of God. Romans 10:17 says, then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.
Amen.
Faith's final resting place is the Word of God.
Amen.
Because our faith is in a God who is the Word.
Amen.
Many people can be persuaded about carnal things. But those things can fail. And those things will fail. And those things will disappoint. But Matthew 24:35, Mark 13:31, and Luke 21:33 say all of it, all three say it the same way. It's one of the few verses that you can find where exactly the way it's written. It's written the same way by all three writers. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. The natural man can be wrong. Our senses can be wrong. Have you ever fell for an optical illusion? Yep, I know which one, I know which line is longer, this one's longer. Nope, it's not. We fall for tricks all the time. Mind tricks, mind games, decision illusions. The science has done a very, 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 very good job of saying that the human mind is broken. Science has proven the mind is flawed. Science has proven the mind can be tricked. Science has proven that there's certain things the mind will do and you can't change it. It'll always give in to the same impulses and it cannot be taught otherwise. There's even some men who've become masters in particular areas of thought in certain disciplines about the human mind, and they even write in their own literature. Although I've studied this for decades and I'm conscious and aware of this tendency and its harmful effects, I am powerless to overcome it. Why? Because the mind, which is broken, cannot fix the broken mind. The senses can be wrong. The natural man can be wrong. Those things will fail and disappoint. But heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. God cannot be wrong. And His word will never fail. In the sermon Perseverant, Brother Bram says, faith is not based upon a myth and upon something, well, that just says, go do this or do that on the words of some man. But faith takes its eternal resting place upon the word of the Lord, upon God's word, which is the Bible. Faith takes its eternal resting place upon the word of the Lord, upon God's word, which is the Bible. Faith takes its final resting place upon the Word of God. Your faith may journey and in different places taking rest, but it must finally come to rest upon the Word of God. In the sermon, Jesus Christ the Same, Brother Bram says, see, faith is not based upon the shifting sands of man's theology. Faith can only be based upon the solid rock of God's eternal Word. That's the only place that faith can rest. It's the only resting place that faith has because the Bible said so. Not what the preacher says, not what Papa said, but what God said. That's where faith is solid. To the believer, if God said it, that settles it. To the believer, if God said it, that settles it. I got a new slogan. If God said it, I believe it. That settles it. See, there's your resting place. So to have faith divine means to have the same attitude God had towards His own word then. If faith takes its final resting place upon the word of God, then to have divine faith, it means you take the same attitude towards His word that He does. It's His faith. It's to believe His word over everything else. Regardless of the flesh, regardless of the mind, regardless of science, regardless of history, regardless of education. Because the right mental attitude towards the word of God will bring it to pass every time. The right mental attitude is only believe. Not believe plus. Well, I'll believe if. But only believe. Believe only. Have faith alone. And that's why he says, don't doubt. Believe only. Have no fear. Only believe. Because if you take doubt and fear and join it to faith, it's not faith alone. There has to be absolutely no doubt. In Church Age Book Chapter 5, as we read a moment ago from this portion, we'll read a little bit more. It's Pergamene Church Age. He says, Jesus' name and Jesus' faith brought about the miracle. Peter did not claim it was his own human faith any more than he claimed that it was his own name. He said that Jesus' name used in the faith which is from Jesus performed that great work. This faith is what the Lord was speaking about in Revelation 2:13. It was his faith. It was not faith in him, but it was his own faith that he had given to the believers.
Amen.
What a tremendous difference. I would much rather have his faith than my own.
Amen.
As today's church is filled with mental believers who endorse the virgin birth, the shed blood, going to church and taking communion, and are not reborn at all, even so in that third age was the same problem. Human faith wasn't enough then, and it's not enough now. It takes the very faith of the Son of God to drop into a man's heart so that he can receive the Lord of glory into the temple not made with hands. This was a living faith. I live by the faith of the Son of God. Faith is a substance. That means God has declared that you can live by faith. And we ought to esteem the bread of God more important than the bread of this world. The faith of God is a substance that we can live by. I live by the faith of the Son of God. Paul did not say that he lived by faith in the Son of God. It was the faith of the Son of God that had given him life and kept him living in Christian victory. It was the faith of God that did that. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 26, but Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Now how striking, do you believe that? Do you really believe that? With men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. God has faith in His own word. That whatever he says, that faith is what brings it to pass.
Amen.
With men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. So, just, I want you to visualize this. With men, we could even say with men, with us, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And so in Mark chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus said unto them, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. With man, this is impossible. With God, nothing is impossible. And we can accept that. With God, all things are possible. But now, all things are possible for you with faith divine. With men, this is impossible. With God, nothing is impossible. All things are possible. Now, if you can believe, all things are possible to you that have God's faith.
Amen.
Brother Branham in the sermon, all things are possible. It's God that got the faith. And just as you're filled with God, you're filled with faith. If you're the Son of God,
You're like God. He just speaks the word and it creates itself. His word is the creative power. How'd the world come here? He made it out of things which was not. He just said, let there be, and here it is. He believed his own word. And so it's God that has the faith. You're filled with faith. Because if you're a son of God, you're like God. And you have God inside of you. With man, it's impossible. But with God in you, nothing is impossible. Why? Because you have the very God in you to believe the word that he spoke. And so when you speak his word and put his faith behind it, it will come to pass. In the sermon, Perfect Faith, he's talking about how the disciples couldn't work a miracle, cast a devil off. And he says they had the power, but they didn't have the faith to operate the word that was in them. See what I mean? Jesus had it. He was the word, and he had faith that what he said would happen. Perfect reflection of the Father. Father, who was the word, spoke the word and believed it. Now Jesus, reflecting his Father, had the faith that what he said would happen. He said, oh, bring him here now. How long will I suffer you? He had faith with his power. How did he? He said, I can do nothing in myself. He relied upon what he was. He relied in knowing that he was the word. And he, don't let this stumble you, he had faith in God who made him the word. He was God the word, and they was in him, and that gave him faith because he understood his position. And as long as we are men, it's impossible. But once we realize that we are divine with him, then nothing is impossible. We are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. We are his chosen generation. We are his genes. We are the very declaration of his power. You are proving his word. By faith, you are the proof that God exists. By faith, you are the very existence of God. By faith, you are the flesh of God. By faith, you are the powerhouse of God. By faith, you're God on two feet. That's what the faith of God in a man does. It raises us above our humanity. And it's the very deity of God and the very majesty of God in you by the word of God that is swallowing up this humanity and will change this mortal into more immortality. Now, can't you see what the perilous times, the seducing spirits, and the tramps are trying to do? They're trying to rob you of your faith. They want to take a perfect faith and add some evidence to it. Listen, as for me, I don't need George Lacey. He don't need to sign off on anything for me to believe it. You can actually get the director of the FBI to say, well, it was a pillar of fire. I don't need a man to certify the supernatural to me. I believe it by faith. Faith tells me that was a pillar of fire. The same one that met Moses. The same one that met Paul. Faith declares that to me. An absolute, positive, direct sense. And as soon as you try to add George J. Lacey to it, it's not faith anymore. We don't need faith plus Wikipedia. We don't need faith plus science. We don't need faith plus anything. We need faith in God's word alone. This world's trying to kill your faith. Because Brother Bannon even said, don't try to get a miracle first. He says, get in the spirit of God and watch the miracles happen. We don't need the proofs and the evidences to believe first. But God inspires faith. Then let the glory roll. Then the proofs come. Then it's positive. Then the signs and wonders follow our faith. I don't know where I'll go, what direction I'll go in the morning, but he says, you can believe the sign. Direct quote. You can believe the sign, but believe the voice of the sign. But these things are trying to kill your faith. And in 1 Peter chapter 6, verse 7, it says your faith is more precious than gold. And it will be tried with fire. In other words, it will be proven and it will be purged. And this great trial of our faith and the testing only serves to purge out whatever is not of faith. Therefore, we're not deterred by the fire. Some people just don't understand what faith is. They think faith is holding on to a particular outcome. And so they think, well, I believe I'm going to get that job. I believe I'm going to get that job. I believe I'm going to get that job. And they got faith they're going to get that job. Then they don't get that job. And they think, well, my faith is just being tried. Well, no, you didn't have faith for that job. I mean, right? I'm not going out on a limb there, am I? If you had faith that something's going to happen and it didn't happen. But, and so, oh, my faith is on trial. I'm not getting what I asked for. No, faith is from God. So the trial of your faith is to get you to move from the realm of God's faith into intellectual faith. Faith is not holding on to a particular outcome. Faith is believing that God is. Faith is believing that God is true. Faith is believing God's word. And God will take care of me. And God will give me his best. And God will look out after me. And he will never leave me nor forsake me. And so if we don't understand faith, we misunderstand the trial. The trial of our faith is not when we don't get what we want. The trial of our faith is when it tries to move us from a faith realm, a divine realm, into an intellectual realm. But what that trial is doing, it's getting rid of anything that's not gold. If you had something in your foundation that was intellectual and carnal, God's just going to purge it right out. Going to purge it as with by fire. That means it's going to burn out what can be burned out. It's going to burn out the contamination. It's going to make it towards pure faith divine. Amen. Thank God for the fire. Amen. To purge it out. To get rid of it. And we're not deterred by the fiery trial which is to try us. And we don't think that some strange thing has happened. Why? The word said it must be. And we welcome it because it will get rid of intellectual faith so that only faith divine remains. Those Hebrew children were not deterred by the fire. You know what faith said? Faith said, we will not bow down to that idol. And they get threatened. Oh, well, you're going to go through the fire. You're going to be destroyed. Our God's able to deliver us. And even if he doesn't, we will not bow down. That's faith. Faith wasn't depending on the outcome to be prove whether or not it was faith. Said, hey, fire or no fire, I still believe. And it was their faith in God that wasn't deterred by the fire that brought God himself right down into the fire. Listen, we're not afraid of Babylon. We're not afraid of Babylon's fire. Bring the fire. My God is a God of the fire. My God makes himself known in the fire. And if the fire didn't come, he wouldn't. So I welcome the fire so that I can know my God in a personal way. We read about the heroes of faith. It says, by faith, they subdued kingdoms, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in the fight, turned to fight the armies of the aliens. Hallelujah! That's what faith can do. But faith also, by faith, others were tortured. Others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. By faith. The same faith that conquered the nations was the same faith they carried when they were cast out. Faith wasn't dependent on whether they were victorious. Faith wasn't dependent on whether or not they were
were sawn asunder or whether they were doing the sawing. Faith was in God's word regardless of the circumstances. And we think we've got to be heroes of faith if we wax valiant in the fight and quench the violence of fire. But the heroes of faith were also sawn asunder, tempted and slain with the sword. But what endured was not their flesh, but faith. What endured to the end was their faith, even in death. Because faith knows no defeat. What some would do in that time, when they were wandering destitute, or when they're under cruel mockings and scourgings, they would cast away their faith. But the faith that would endure to the end, that could endure and persevere under the test and under the trial, that's faith divine. You couldn't sit back and say, well, this one waxed bad in the fight. That must be divine faith. This one was sawn asunder. They must have not had it. No, that wasn't the judge of faith. The Bible says in Luke chapter 17, a very personal verse to us, verse 30, that even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. And it tells us and gives us great signs of the days of Lot and the days of Noah. And we look out and we see the signs. And the Sodom condition and all the things declared to us a sign that the Son of Man was to be revealed. But then Jesus says, in that day, he who is on the housetop, do not return down. He that is in the field, do not go back. And he says, remember Lot's wife. In the day when the Son of Man is revealed, remember Lot's wife. Now, I preached that before, that it meant, don't go back to the world, don't look back, whatever you do, don't go back to Sodom, and preached it maybe from the standpoint as a warning. But listen, the days of Lot and the days of Noah were signs. And when Jesus said, remember Lot's wife, that was also a sign. Jesus would not speak to his bride and liken her unto Lot's wife and warn her or give her a warning. Remember Lot's wife. Don't fall for the trick. Don't fall away. But God, Jesus, was giving us yet another sign that when the Son of Man is revealed, you will see Lot's wife, who started out with you, turn back and go back to where she came from. So the Lot's wife was not another warning. It was not a warning to the bride. It was not even a warning to Lot's wife. Because she couldn't be deterred. She was going to go back anyways. But it was a sign to the elect to know you are in the visitation of the Son of Man. You are watching and seeing and participating in the very revelation of Jesus Christ. When we see Lot's wife turning back, we know God's word is being fulfilled. And what Brother Branham said about her, and how can I overcome? She started out as an overcomer. No doubt she may have had an intellectual faith. She never did overcome. She left the denomination. She did. She walked out of Sodom with Lot. I'll just make a distinction. She left following a man, not the messenger. She left following her husband, following the circumstances, following something in the flesh. She didn't leave under the angel's message. She left because a man told her to leave. And so she left with Lot and was following with Lot. And he says, she walked out of Sodom with Lot, but she wanted to go back and have her hair cut. Declaring she was never under the headship of the messenger. She was never under the headship of that message. And so the very first thing she wants to do is cut her hair. What's the first thing Lot's wife doing in this day? She's cutting her hair. Why? She's declaring, it was not faith divine that caused me to grow this hair out. It was not faith divine that pledged my heart to this word. It was intellectual, carnal, mental believing. He says she walked out with Lot, but she wanted to go back and have her hair cut. She had to go back. She just couldn't stand the test. Why? Because
your faith will be tested. There is going to be a trial. There'll be something come that'll test every single possible reason you gave for believing this message. If there's any reason why you believed it besides God said it, if there's anything you believed it besides it was God's word, if there's any reason why you had your faith and confidence and hope in it besides the fact that I just can't help but believe it, this is God's word, what else can I believe? What else do I want to believe? If there's nothing else in there, God will bring the test. And just as she had to go back, there'll be those who cannot go back. Just as Brother Branham said, many left the word of God in that day when they rejected Moses. He said, but some stayed with it. There'll be a people in this hour when their faith is tried. It'll be reduced down to faith and nothing else. And they'll say, where else can we go? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life. Well, how do you know? Faith has declared to me a living God. She couldn't stand the test. The trial of our faith, the fiery trial, which is to try you. We will be tested. Eve was tested in the Garden of Eden and failed because of reasoning. Brother Bram said she was put to the test. The bride will be tempted and tested just as Eve. But she will overcome just as Christ overcame. We'll invite the musicians to come. Just have maybe a couple more statements to read though. In the sermon, the God of this evil age, Brother Bram says, what would God call a people out of this evil age for? His name. The reason of it is to try her, his bride. When she is made manifest, been tried, been proven, proved to Satan, like it was at the beginning, so shall it be at the end. We find now, this evil age is to prove to Satan, she is not like Eve. That she is not that type of a woman. You are not that type of woman to reason with the word. You're the type of woman to believe it because he said it. And she will be tried by his word, the bride, as Adam's bride was tried by the word. And Adam's bride believed every bit of the word, all but confused on one promise. That he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Today, see, but failed on one promise under the temptation of the enemy, face to face. So it's got to come close, saints. And now the people that's called for his name, of course, is his bride. She is to come in contact again by the same thing. Not by just denominational truth or something, but every word. You're going to come face to face with the tempter. Face to face with the reasoner. The questioner. The examiner. And you are going to prove you are not like Eve. Hath God not said you shall not eat of every tree in the garden? I believe the word of God. Well, answer my question. Whatever he said, I believe it. You don't need to argue with the devil. Don't need to reason with them. You can stand with the word of God and prove that you are not like Eve, and you must come in contact with the same trial and the same testing and prove I cannot go back because I am tied to this word by faith divine. Are you possessed with a living, daring confidence in God's word? Do you have a substance that can stand the test? We don't need to dig deep and find something in our minds that we can hold on to. We need faith divine. To believe God's word above all else. And just rest in that alone. God's the one that vindicates his word. The greatest battle ever fought. If one little iota of God's word was disbelieved and caused all this trouble, how are we going to get back disbelieving the word? You can't do it. You got to shut off all these other things. Conscience, memories, and reasonings. In all these other things, casting down reasonings. We don't reason about it at all. Nothing at all. We just accept the word upon the basis God said so. You got to shut off all these other things. Conscience, memories, reasons, affections, all these other things. Casting them down. We don't reason at all. We just, now listen what happens. We accept the word upon the basis God said so. And it, that acceptance of that, it sets a stream between you and God. And every channel comes open between you and God then. There's the battle. The very front line. It says, let's not use a 22 rifle. Let's get an atomic bomb. Let's do the job right. Let's get God's atomic bomb. Well, what is it, Brother Branham? F-A-I-T-H in His Word. That's God's atomic bomb. And it blows sickness and devils right and left. It annihilates them. Discriminates. It's the only discrimination we believe in. Oh, it just destroys. It disintegrates everything that's ungodly. When that bomb of faith drops in there with the Word of God behind it, it blows every devil, every sickness, every disease. That's what we have as believers. We have faith divine. God's atomic bomb. Not a little 22 rifle. You realize that's what you're doing with your intellectual faith? You're trying to pop off these things with the 22? You got to be a really, really, really good shot to do that. Some of us aren't good shots. We need an atomic bomb. Just go ahead and take care of this in one shot. That's what we need, is the atomic bomb. And he says this. You say, is that right, Brother Branham? Then why does it work on... Or he says, why does it on some and not on others? He says it's because of the channel. You can look out and see it, but you have to have it in here looking this way. Not out there looking in. You got to be in looking out. How come it doesn't work for some people? They've always had it on the outside looking in. They've looked at the faith of God from afar. They observed it. They saw the signs. They saw the wonders. They saw the vindications. They heard the testimonies. And they're always looking at it from the outside in. But if it ever can come down in your heart and start looking from the inside out, that's the atomic bomb. And that's what takes you from things being impossible with man and puts you in the place with God. All things are possible. I believe that what we have in this hour is faith divine, having been delivered to the saints of God. You, having been established in this present truth, have had faith divine delivered to you. Not an intellectual faith, not a mental faith, but the very faith of God has been delivered to you so that you can rise above everything of this world. I challenge you to be possessed with God's faith divine. Let's stand to our feet. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. The faith of God. We can have God's faith to believe His Word. You who are filled with God's Word and His power and life inside of you can speak His Word and with faith behind it. Bring it to pass. If you have a need in your heart tonight, why don't you just lift your hands to Him? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we have in our hearts desire tonight just to lift You up. To speak of a very simple subject of faith. To build our confidence in the most holy faith. That by the word being preached, we could come to understand there is a difference between intellectual faith and the faith that comes from You. Lord, if there be one here tonight who realizes that all along it's been from the outside looking in, may they accept You tonight on the basis of Your Word. May they receive You into their hearts, calling upon Your name, repenting of their sins, even to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to receive the faith of God on the inside looking out. Lord, I imagine it has to be pretty weary living with a 22 rifle. Always trying to protect your family with 22 faith. Struggling day by day and not overcoming anxiety and bitterness and disappointment. But yet still holding intellectual faith. Lord, in some ways it's honorable. It's boggling that some sometimes could persevere so much with the intellectual part.
But I pray tonight that they could find a place of rest and allow your faith to come into their hearts and be settled supremely upon your word of God. Lord, we're committing ourselves into your hands completely and totally, knowing that without you we're nothing. And I pray tonight you'd strengthen your believers for the cause. As they even cried out in Nehemiah, strengthen our hands for war. And one even cried, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. I pray, Lord, that you strengthen our faith for the times at hand. That you increase our faith and our courage. And may it be your divine faith that pushes out all unbelief and all doubt and all reasoning. And stands upon the battlefield victorious, having conquered all. Lord, we love you. We thank you. Bless your people tonight, even with their hands raised, calling upon you for deliverance, for health, for safety, for deliverance, whatever it may be, Father. We commit them into your hands. And by faith, we ask these things, believing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you, saints.
Jesus. Aren't you glad you're a believer? I didn't know which way he was going to go, and I come out and started saying that. What was you shouting back there before you came out? Faith is the substance of things hoped for with the evidence of things not seen. So faith declares it when you can't prove it. Faith says it's real. You imagine 1954 when Brother Branham deals with the Word made flesh in the India report, and he says if the same faith in our hearts can take His Word and say what He said, will it not come to pass exactly the way He said it? We've all been there. Our intellectual faith says, by His stripes I'm healed. Week goes by, 2 weeks go by, month goes by, 6 months goes by, nothing happens. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, it seemed like it just, bam, there it is, and says, by His stripes I'm healed. And that night, the symptoms start leaving. And you said the same thing. Sounded like your voice anyway. But this time, it was His faith. Praise God. Oh my. Oh, how we love Him. Don't we appreciate His grace? Appreciate our brother tonight. Amen. Just obeying the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Lord willing, Carol and I are leaving in the morning. Brother Bo Smeaton, I had requested prayer for his mother, and she passed away this week. And Brother Bo wanted Brother Darrell and myself to come up for the funeral. They were originally from Maryland, been in Dyersburg for several years now. So Carol and I are leaving in the morning, driving up. And we got that funeral service there. So we certainly desire your prayers that Lord will just watch over us as we go. Brother Aaron will be back in the morning and just basically do the same thing. Wear him out. Amen. So appreciate you so much. Let's sing together. Have faith in God, have faith in God. Oh, have faith in God for the answer. Have faith in God. Together, have faith in God with all your heart now. Oh, have the faith of God. Have faith in God for the answer. Have faith in
Oh, praise the Lord. Let's just close our eyes now and sing it together. Let's have faith in our God. Have faith in God. Not in science, not in man, but have faith in God for answer. Have faith in God. You believe faith can do wonderful things. Sister Janie stands here tonight, and several months back they found out she had cancer. Doctors didn't hardly give her no hope at all. But faith in God's word. She stands here tonight beyond reports of what the doctor said. Brother Junior Davis standing here tonight by faith. Oh my, how many more standing here tonight? No way for this to happen. But by faith. By faith. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. God bless you, children. I love you in the Lord. Go in the fear of God. Let's sing it together. Have faith in God. Aren't you glad you can? Have faith in God. Oh, have faith in God for your answer. Have faith in. Now let's sing it. Have the faith of God. Praise the Lord. Have the faith of God. So you'll believe what He believes. Have the faith of God. Praise God. Just have the faith of God for the answer. Have the faith of God. Now have faith in God. Let us have faith in your God. Have faith in your God. Yes, Lord Jesus. Have faith. God bless you, saints. Go in the fear of God.